You know, I don't think that knowing that the Antichrist is going to be supernatural will help you at all. Any more than knowing that alcohol is bad for you keeps people from being drunks. It doesn't work like that. It'll be irresistible. Except by the power of God, you are sealed against it. When he comes down out of the sky with all power and signs and lying wonders, you won't be. There's no knowledge you have in your mind or any biblical understanding you think you have that can keep you from bowing down before him. And his army, with their beautiful hair, their fierce countenances, the angels of the devil. When the devil has come down unto you having great wrath, there is nothing you possess as a man that can keep you from that. Nothing. You are weak and powerless before them. You will bow. You will scrape. You will lick the dust gladly off of his feet. And I would do it too. I would do it too. I would absolutely do it. Even knowing. Thinking I know. Not that I would do it knowingly necessarily. I don't think I could. But I think I know. But man, the pressure could be so intense, the deception, and if you're just given to it. Hey, you know, I always knew that drinking was bad. I didn't want to be a drunk, but I was one anyways. You know how many sins were like that for me? Many things are like that. You don't want to do it, but you do it anyways. Isn't that what Paul said? That which I would, I do not. That's the state we are without Christ. We want to do one thing, and we do another. Well, you may want to resist the devil in the end times, but you just won't. Because God will give you over to him. And that's it. Men prepare. They want to stockpile weapons, stockpile this, food, whatever. You know what? Nothing. Nothing can keep you from it. You will go into captivity to the king of Babylon, whether you want to or not, whether you think it or not. There's nothing we can do. That is why learning to rely on God now and trust in him fully and to know who our God is, that is the essential thing. We got to know God. We have to walk with him. Noah was a just man and perfect, and Noah walked with God. I need to walk with God. I need to know him. I need to be a just man. I need to be like Noah. That's perfect holiness in the fear of God. Hey, it sounds crazy to me too, but let's go. It says let's do it. I'm with you, Paul. Paul, the apostle, says, hey, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Hey, I'm there. Let's go. It sounds crazy to me, man. It's like let's break down a Mack truck and put it back together. Let's just do it this weekend. It sounds nuts to me. It's like I've tinkered, but I, you know, let's just break the whole thing down. Take every nut and bolt apart and put it back together. Blindfolded. I mean, that's kind of like what it is. It just sounds crazy, but you know what? Then we believe that the devil rise. If you believe the devil rise, well, then why should it be so hard to believe that we can perfect holiness? Oh, well, we're not allowed to do that, Paul. You should be careful when preaching about perfection. I agree. We should be careful because, you know, it's very common out there. People believe they're perfect. Oh, no, they don't. They don't believe they're perfect? Oh, yes, they do. They believe they're perfect. They say, repeat after me. Oh, Lord Jesus, I receive you in my heart. That's all you need. Now you're fit. Your salvation is accomplished. Everything's done. It's all finished. You went from the bottom of the mountain to the top with just a, I'll follow you, Mr. Mountain Guide. I'll follow you to the top of the mountain. Yes, sir. And then you were there. No, it doesn't work like that. It doesn't work like that. He promises us and he takes us there. And so we need to see ourselves going along for the ride. Verse 9, and the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast and his image, and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascendeth up for ever and ever. And they have no rest, day nor night, who worship the beast and his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. So now it says, if any man worship the beast in his image, receive his mark in their forehead or in his hand. In the forehead or in the hand, they receive the mark, the designation of servitude and allegiance to the beast, in whatever form that may take. It's like I said, it, you know, how important is it to know and figure all this stuff out? Hey, man, just get the number of the beast straight. You're not going to have to worry about the rest of it. As far as the nations, what's going to happen to them? They're not going to understand any of it. They're not going to think this is the mark of the beast. They're not going to think any of it. They're, you know, I mean, will some people? I don't know, maybe. Just going to go along with it? I don't know. It is said in the writings of Paul, I believe it was 1 Corinthians, he said, you know, we speak the wisdom of God, which God hath hid in a mystery, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord. See, if people knew what they were doing, there's a lot of things they would not do. And not because they love the truth or because they love God or because they want to be good people, but because they would want to save their own skin. You wouldn't put your hand in a blender if you knew that it would chop up and be painful and all that, right? You don't. But if you believed it was going to be perfectly all right and actually beneficial to stick your hands in a blender, if you believed that, you might actually do it, wouldn't you? And so God hides wisdom from people to make them put their hands in blenders in the spiritual sense. I mean, that's why that's why they crucify the Lord. He hath hid the wisdom from them. Jesus himself said, Lord, forgive them. They do not know what they do. If they knew what they were doing, they wouldn't have done it. If they knew they were crucifying the Son of God, they would have said, hold on, stop. Dust him off. We're very sorry, sir. We're extremely sorry. Let us get down on our knee, hands and knees, and we will kiss your feet. Or we probably shouldn't touch you. We're unclean people. We're very terrible. We're sorry. This is a terrible mistake. We shouldn't have done this. Sorry it came this far. No, see, they would not. Now, they're the same people who hated righteousness and hated all that was good and hated the things of God and hated Christ. But if they knew for sure what he was and knew what it really was that they were doing, they wouldn't do it. That's why the whole notion of free will is kind of a joke. Because how can you call it a free will choice if they're not given all the information? They believed they were crucifying a blasphemer. They didn't think, surely this is the Son of God. Let's do him in. They did not. People will do this in ignorance. And the thing is,